teaching lesson with John chapter 3, verse 16. And we're going to do that, but the Holy Spirit shared with me last night. He said, start it first with Isaiah chapter 9. Turn there with me, please. Isaiah chapter 9, we're going to look at verse 6. We've been singing all around this verse today, all through praise and worship and all that we've been declaring. We've been saying this verse. I'm going to read it out of the King James Bible. Whichever translation you have, please read that out loud with me. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Who is Isaiah referring to? Now let's turn to John chapter 3. In Isaiah chapter 9, God spoke through the prophet Isaiah and declared something. He spoke that which was to come. Now in John chapter 3, he shares what he did and why. I'm going to read verses 16 through 18. Whichever translation you have, I ask that you read that out loud with me. Let's begin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm going to preface this lesson by saying I'm not going to give you a title right away, so just clear that out. We've already declared we're open. And as Deacon William taught us, we're going somewhere. Because I didn't understand why God wouldn't let me share the title, but what I now understand is he wants to lay the foundation and the platform. And then at the appropriate time, we're going to move into what the title refers to. Turn over, please, to Psalm 33. Excuse me. Psalm 33, and I'm going to be reading verses 4 through 11. Starting in the King James Bible, it says, For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. He gathered the waters and of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. The Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of his heart to all generations. Now I want you to listen to that out of the New Living Translation, excuse me. For the word of the Lord holds true, so we can trust everything he does. He loves whatever is just and good. The unfailing love of the Lord fills the earth. The Lord merely spoke, and the heavens were created. He breathed the word, and all the stars were born. He assigned the sea its boundaries and locked the oceans in vast reservoirs. Let the whole world fear the Lord, and let everyone stand in awe of him. For when he spoke, the world began. It appeared at his command. The Lord frustrates the plans of the nations, and he thwarts all of their schemes. But the Lord's plans stand firm forever. His intentions can never be shaken. The reason why I read that out of the New Living Translation, because it paints a good picture, a clearer picture. God's words cause things to happen. Another way of saying that is God's word is creative. They produce, they bring about a result or a change. That word create in Webster's means to bring into existence, to produce, to bring about by a course of action or behavior. It also means to make something new. Turn over, please, to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. I'm going to share this out of the Amplified Bible. This is God speaking, and he says, "For as the rain and snow come down from the heavens and return not there again, but water the earth and make it bring forth and sprout, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, without producing any effect. It will not be useless, but it shall accomplish that which I please and purpose. It shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it." God compares his word to the rain and the snow that comes down from heaven. God says that his word produces, it prospers, it causes something to happen. Out of the New Living Translation, verse 11 says, "It is the same with my word. I sent it out, and it always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I sent it." We had an example of that in Isaiah chapter 9. God forecasted what he was going to do, that he was going to send a son and he was going to call him, and he told us the names. But at the time that the prophet Isaiah spoke that, Jesus had not come. But yet God spoke something, and there was a creative power that was working in the earth, putting things in place for the fulfillment of what God had spoken. An example of God's creative power in his word is seen in Genesis 1. Chapter 1. All throughout Genesis chapter 1 through 2 and 3, we see where God did what? He spoke. He said something, and then it happened. God's words have creative power in them, that when he speaks something, though it may look like it's not happening or nothing has changed, God's creative power is at work bringing that word to pass. So God's words are creative. Turn over, please, to Numbers chapter 23. The validity of God's word is based on his character. And Numbers chapter 23, verse 19, will say that. Numbers 23, verse 19, I'm reading out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, "God is not a man that he should tell or act a lie, neither the son of man that he should feel repentance or compunction for what he has promised. Has he said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" Listen to this out of the Message Bible. "God is not a man, one given to lies, and not a son of man changing his mind. Does he speak and not do what he says? Does he promise and not come through?" In Genesis chapter 12 and also in chapter 17, we see an example of God's creative word being spoken. God spoke to then Abram and told him that he was going to make him the father of many nations. God changed Abram's name to Abraham. By doing that, God began speaking into existence that which he intended to bring to pass. He was causing a childless man to become the father of a nation of people more numerous than the sand on the seas or the stars in the sky. At the time God spoke to Abraham, Abraham was a childless man. Abraham had not seen this God before that spoke to him. But there was something that Abraham did that got in line with what God said. Turn over, please, to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and I'm reading verses 17 through 22 out of the Amplified Bible. And it says, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. Now, this is after the fact. So by scripture history, we see that in Genesis, God spoke it. But as you read through the Old Testament, you see that it actually took place. It happened. So God's creative word produced. It changed something that had one state into something into another condition. Continuing, he was appointed our father in the sight of God, and this is referring to Abraham, in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. Key verse. For Abraham, human resource for hope was being gone. He hoped anyhow in faith that he should become the father of many nations as he had been promised. So numerous shall be your descendants. Abraham did not weaken in faith when he considered the utter impotence of his own body, which was as good as dead, because he was about 100 years old. Nor did he consider the barrenness of Sarah's dead womb. Key verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God, fully satisfied and assured that God was able and mighty to keep his word and to do what he had said, what he had promised. This is why his faith was credited to him as righteousness, right standing with God. Let me net it out for you. God spoke a promise to Abraham. He told him something he was going to do. At the time, the natural circumstances looked impossible, but the scripture tells us that Abraham believed God. Another way of putting it, Abraham got in agreement with what God had spoken. This was the God that Abraham had never seen before. Yet Abraham believed him when he spoke to him. Even though the fulfillment of the promise took almost 25 years, Abraham did not waver or doubt. Now remember, I said that God's word creates. It means to bring something into existence, to produce, or to bring about by a course or action. It doesn't mean that it's going to happen overnight. Yes, there are some suddenlies. There are a lot of things that God speaks and he does. But there are many promises and declarations that God will speak in his written word and will speak to his body individually and collectively. And we are standing and saying, okay, year one, okay, year five, okay, year 10, God, you said this. Whether it's year 1000, the reality of the creative power of God is still at work in that word. Because one of the definitions of create is that it begins a process of changing things from one state into another. So that means that God has to line up time sets and people and places and situations and conditions to bring everything in line and in place with what he spoke to come to pass. But the power is still in his word to make it happen, regardless of how long it appears to take. The creative power of God's word takes what appears to be impossible and makes it possible. Therefore, if Abraham believed God, And I'm going to give you some references for the sake of time. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. You can write that down. Excuse me. In the Amplified Bible, it says, "Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, the young woman who is unmarried and a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel, God with us." Here, God spoke again through the prophet Isaiah. He spoke that which was to come to pass. Now, in these days, it wasn't right for an unmarried girl to be pregnant. It still isn't morally right. Okay, we haven't changed. God hasn't changed his standard. But the bottom line was God spoke something that in that time was unheard of. Turn over, please, to Luke chapter 1. Remember I said that God's words are creative. They take things from one state and they change them into another. He's working out a process, a course of action to bring into existence that which he has spoken. So in Isaiah chapter 7, we see that God spoke through Isaiah and said that a virgin was going to give birth to a son. Now in Luke chapter 1, verses 28, this is a reference also, 26 through 38 in Luke chapter 1. I'm going to read it in the Amplified Bible. "Now in the sixth month after that, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee named Nazareth, to a girl never having been married and a virgin, engaged to be married, and to a man whose name was Joseph, a descendant of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And he came to her and said, 'Hail, O favored one, endued with grace, the Lord is with you. Blessed, favored of God are you before all other women.' But when she saw him, she was greatly troubled and disturbed and confused at what he said, and kept revolving in her mind what such a greeting might mean." Let me insert something. How many of you, God have said something and your head has gone tilt? Because you're trying to figure out the how, the what, the when, the who, and you're like, "Lord, I don't see this." That's exactly what Mary said. How's this going to happen? Let's keep reading. "And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found grace, free, spontaneous, absolute favor, and loving kindness with God. And listen, you will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, eminent, and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his forefather David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob throughout the ages, and of his reign there will be no end.' And Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be?'" And listen to her question. "Since I have no intimacy with any man as a husband." She wasn't saying, "No, Lord." She wasn't saying that's not possible. She asked a simple question. Because God knows my state, how is he going to do this? God is so good. When we ask some questions that sometimes we should be keeping quiet, God is gracious enough to answer us. "The angel said to her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you like a shining cloud. And so the Holy, pure, sinless thing, the offspring which shall be born of you, will be called the Son of God. And listen, your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son." God takes that from one state and turns it into another. He creates something new. "Your relative Elizabeth in her old age has also conceived a son. And this is now the sixth month with her who was called barren." And this is key. "For with God, nothing is ever impossible, and no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment." Did you get it?
Yes.
The creative power of God's word will take that which seems impossible and make it possible. The angel said to her, no word from God, and I say it by his standard today, no word from God, whether it's his written word, whether it's his spoken word, no word from God shall be without power. It is impossible for fulfillment. And listen to Mary's response. Then Mary said, behold, I am the handmaiden of the Lord. Let it be done to me according to what you have said. And the angel left her. Mary got in agreement with what God said. Mary didn't stand there and say, Joseph is going to kick me to the curb. How in the world am I going to show up pregnant and we haven't had any relationship? What is my family going to say? I don't know anything about birthing no babies. But the God who created the heavens and the earth, the God who takes things from nothing and makes them into something, the God whose word is creative, spoke to Mary through the angel, and Mary said, be it unto me according to thy word. She didn't have to know the details. She received the word that came from God, regardless of what her circumstances looked like. And can we say we do the same? Now, I believe we're going to get to where we're supposed to. I can share the title. But before that, there's a word that was spoken in that verse in Luke, and it was fulfillment. It said, no word from God shall be without power or impossible of fulfillment. Let me tell you what fulfillment means. It refers to a fullness of time. It refers to a season. It is a period of progression, development, maturity, and preparation. Now, there are things that God will speak to you. There are things that God will show you and reveal. There are things that God will tell you this is going to happen. And at that moment, it looks absolutely impossible. You may even say, Lord, I don't even want that. I haven't been desirous of that. Have you been there? That's why I'm standing here today. Tell, as my sister Deacon Valerie says, tell the truth and shame the devil. But the reality of it is that God speaks what he knows, his purpose, his plan. We are supposed to hook up and get in agreement with God's plan. Even when it doesn't make sense to us, even when it's not comfortable to us, and even when it's not what we really want to do. But if we say that we are submitted to God, if we say that the creator of the universe is our Father and Jesus Christ is our Savior and our Lord, then we say what Mary said, we get in agreement with God. So whether it's that process of fulfillment, where it's the time of maturity, the time of preparation, the time of development or progression, or whether it is suddenly God's word spoken again, whether it is his written word or whether it is his spoken word, it is going to come to pass. We should never doubt God's timing. When God has spoken something to you, if it seems like it's taking too long, if it seems like it's too slow, if it seems that it's even happening too quickly, never doubt God's timing. And I'm going to insert this here. One of the things that God has been speaking, especially in this congregation, is the word change. Change. And I don't know if you've been aware of it over the past year, but if you look at our services, if you look at how we do things, you will see a great liberty of change in the direction that God is moving. And if you're like me, you are rejoicing because it's wonderful. But when God says change, he's not talking about just services. He's talking about mindsets and attitudes. He's talking about habits and practices. He's talking about thoughts and words and aspirations. So that if I say, well, we've always done it this way, and I say, well, I don't know why we have to go that way, am I in agreement when God says change? Or am I rebelling against the word of the Lord? The God who created the heavens and the earth. The God who created everything that moves upon the earth. So when God says change, I have a choice. And it's really not a choice, but he's so gracious, he gives us one. I have a choice. Am I going to stay with what I know, what seems comfortable and right and what I like to do? Or am I going to say, Lord, help me to flow with the change that you are bringing about so that I am in agreement with you, Lord, so that I'm not stagnant. So then, again, in Luke chapter 1, we're going to look at another verse. When Mary went to her cousin Elizabeth, Elizabeth said in verse 45, and I'm reading out of the Amplified, and blessed, happy, to be envied is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment. That's that word again. The progression, the development, the maturity, and the preparation of the things which were spoken to her from the Lord. How many of you, when God says, take them all, believe God? How many of you, when God says, call in the 80,000, are believing in agreement with God and making the changes in your giving as he directs? How many of you, when God says to our pastors that your best days are yet ahead, and we watch her walk down that aisle growing stronger and stronger every day? How many of you believe God when circumstances and situations look like his creative work is not working in your life? Well, we are blessed too. We are fortunate too when we believe what God has spoken to us. It pays to get in agreement with God. Now, just for the sake of time, Luke chapter 2, write this down, please. Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 11, that is the fulfillment of the spoken promise that God made starting in the book of Isaiah. When God said that he was going to bring forth a son through a virgin, when God came to the virgin through the angel and spoke to her, the fulfillment of that word is in Luke chapter 2, verses 4 through 11. You can also look in Matthew and see where the virgin gave birth to the child and they called his name what? Jesus. Now, what should be our response as New Testament believers to the spoken word of God? The title of today's message is, When God Has Spoken, the Church Says Amen. Turn over, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. That's not just a nice song. I'm going to show you something, because for the past couple of weeks, God has been revealing that word amen to me and what it really means. Turn over, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. I'm going to be reading this out of the Amplified Bible. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. And it says, For the Son of God, Christ Jesus, the Messiah, who has been preached among you by us, by myself, Silvanus, and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it is always the divine yes. For as many as are the promises of God, they all find their yes answer in him, Christ. For this reason, we also utter the amen. And what does it mean? So be it. To God, through him, in his person, and by his agency, to the glory of God. I'm going to share this in a few other translations. It's going to get clearer and clearer to you. The Contemporary English Bible says, This is because Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is always yes and never no. He is the one that Silas, Timothy, and I told you about. Christ says yes to all of God's promises. That's why we have Christ to say amen for us to the glory of God. Going to get a little clearer. Going to the new Good News translation. For Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was preached among you by Silas, Timothy, and myself, is not one who is yes and no. On the contrary, he is God's yes. For it is he who is the yes to all of God's promises. This is why through Jesus Christ, our amen is said to the glory of God. Last translation, New International Version. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me and Silas and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him it has always been yes. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. Let me clarify it for you. Every promise that God has made to his body is being fulfilled through the office and person of Jesus Christ. Jesus says yes to every promise that God makes. Jesus is in agreement with every word that God has spoken. And when God speaks something to us, Jesus is standing there and saying, yes, I agree with what God says. And according to 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, what is supposed to be our response? Amen, which means so be it. So when God says you are blessed, he is saying so it is. And what do you say? When God says that all of your need is met and you don't have a dime in your pocket, what do you say? When your body is acting contrary and God says that by the stripes of Jesus you are healed, what do you say? When God says he's going to bring about the new thing and it looks like everything in your life is shriveling up and nothing is changing and everything is going bad, what do you say? Why? Because it's being fulfilled through the person of Jesus Christ. If you are a part of the body of Christ, the head is saying yes. The head is saying I'm in agreement, and the body is not disjointed. It's not full of schism or confusion. So if the head is saying yes, what does the body say? Yes. Hallelujah. Do you understand what our response is when God has spoken? When the creator of the universe has prophesied and he has spoken that there is change and he said that it's new and he said that there's more and he said that you're blessed and he said that you're wealthy and he said that you're whole and he said your children are coming in. When God says you have it, what do you say? Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That is our response. And it is done through the person of Jesus Christ. Now let me share with you what that word amen means. The word amen means yes. It is the agreement. And according to the scripture that we just looked at in 2 Corinthians 1, when we say amen in agreement to God's word, we bring glory to him. Because it says my body knows that I am the creator, that I speak that which is about to happen, and I've got the ability to back it up. My body knows that when I say something, it shall surely happen. We bring glory to God when we get in agreement with him and we say yes and we say amen. Now, according to Strong's, that word amen means surely, truly. It means so it is and so be it. May it be fulfilled. That's what Mary said when the angel said to her that she was going to give birth to a child. She said, let it be fulfilled. Not how, not when, not who, what is going to happen, but let it be done, Lord. Are we saying that when God reveals things to us, when our pastors share with us and understand something, people? When you are a part of the local assembly, and everybody should be in the body, should be a part of the local assembly, because every one of us needs to be taught. Every one of us needs to grow. And God has put pastors as gifts in the body for the training and the perfecting and the building up and the maturing so that each of us can do the part in the body that he's called us to. But pastors, like many other leaders in the body, they are visionaries. And just like God spoke through Isaiah, Isaiah didn't know how it was going to happen. He may not have even seen Mary, but God will show them something. God will tell them something. And at the time that they're saying it, they don't even see it. It may sound foreign to them, But they're saying it by the unction of the Holy Spirit. And to us, the sheep, we need to look at the shepherd and say, I trust the God that's leading you. So when the shepherd says, this is the direction we're going in, and these are the steps that are required, I've got to shut my mouth and stop talking about how long it's going to take, how much work it's going to cost, because I then am talking against God's plan. It is significant. It is so significant in our words, in our thoughts, in our habits, in our attitudes, to stay in agreement with what God is saying. Who did God give authority to in the earth? So where are we? So when God speaks something, he's going to bring it to pass, but he's going to operate through the office of Jesus Christ, the head, and he's going to give directions to his body. And we have the responsibility to agree with the direction that comes from the head. He's going to call us to go places. He's going to call us to say things. He's going to call us to make changes. He's going to call us to declare some things. We're saying what he said, and we are in agreement with what he said. He's the one that's going to make it happen, not us. We just simply need to line up and get in place with what he said and do the part that he said to do. So continuing, the word amen, one commentary says, it is directly related to, almost identical to the Hebrew word for believe, which means or is pronounced amam, A-M-A-M. Thus, that word amam came to mean sure or surely, and it is now amen. It is the expression of absolute trust and confidence. According to Vine's expository, the word amen, when it is said by God, means it is so. And when it is said by us, it means so let it be. That's getting in agreement with what God said. Webster's dictionary says the word amen expresses solemn ratification of an expression of faith. It gives hearty approval. You know, when a judge has settled a case, and the verdict has been given, and the judge bangs his gavel, and that's it? The decision has been made? Well, our amen is that gavel in the earth, because God gave us authority in the earth. So when God speaks it, when God reveals it, when God declares it, you use your voice and agree with what God said, and let your voice be the amen that tells every demon in hell, you go no farther than this line, because my Father God spoke this, and I'm in agreement with what he said, and he shall bring it to pass. Can we say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. The Concise Encyclopedia says that amen is an expression of agreement. It is confirmation that we use in worship. When I looked out throughout the New Testament, I saw often that the Apostle Paul and other writers used the word amen in their epistles or their letters. But it's not always just to signify or indicate the closing of a book or a chapter or the end of a prayer. I know we say it at the end of a prayer, but do you know what we're saying? We're saying, so be it. We're saying yes. We're saying this is what God says, and we agree with God. But in the New Testament, when the Apostle Paul and other writers wrote the word or had the word amen in there, it was more so to declare the emphasis of agreement with the principle that the Holy Spirit was writing through them. In other words, the amen was inserted to say, so be it. This is true. This is sure. Turn over, please, to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, we're looking at verses 20 and 21. Now, I'm going to read it first out of the King James, and then I'm going to go into the Amplified. Out of the King James, it says, now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. Through Jesus Christ, always remember the promises of God are fulfilled through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. What's the next word? What he's saying is, so be it. That what God has said, that you are being made perfect in every good work to do his will. God is working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight. So when we say amen to the scriptures, when we get in agreement with the scriptures, what we are saying, God has said so it is. And what are we saying? So be it. We are saying, yes, Lord, I agree with what you've said. Regardless of what you feel like or your family history is or your background, I don't care if your children are running amok. If God says that the fruit of your womb is blessed, then what are you supposed to say? If your spouse acts like they're about to walk out the door and end that which has been the marriage, and you know that God told you to stand fast and speak that word, what are you supposed to say? If the economy is saying that they're closing down everything and people are losing jobs, and God says that he will make you the head and not the tail, and God says that he's called you to have more, regardless of what the pink slip or no slip says, what do you say? Because we are in a time in this earth now, people, where things are happening in the natural that if you are not grounded in Christ, if you are not anchored and rooted in the word, you will be shaken. You will be moved. But when the creator of the universe, God himself, our Father, through the office of Jesus Christ, has spoken a word that says that I will steady you, I will keep you, I will protect you, I will watch over you, I will guard you, then you had better know that no matter what happens in the natural, you are kept, you are protected, and you better line up your words. Line up your words. Not just in the assembly, people. Oh, no, 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 no. Not just in the assembly, but when you're in your home or you're on the road and it looks like a car is going to take you off, you had better know the word of God, and you had better be firm and grounded in it and say amen to what God says in agreement. Because we are in an age that anything that can be shaken is being shaken. But it's only in Christ Jesus, our rock, that we stand firm and we will not be moved. And God says, let this be the word that you seal in your heart today. Because where there has been wavering and doubting, where there has been frustration and impatience, where there has been hurt and despondency that you've said, Lord, I thought you said. And Lord, how come? And why does it have to be this way? The word of the Lord to you today is, hold fast to what I have spoken to you. And don't you let go. Don't you dare forget that I am the creator of the universe. And I have spoken my word to you. And it shall surely come to pass. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Pastor Sarah, if I may, and if I'm out of order, please stop me. The Lord says, there is so much more value and purpose in your life than you even know. And he says, just by the power of his presence in you, he is doing a restorative work that is greater than the natural eye will ever see. And so the very fact that it may seem that you don't move as quickly or as easily as you used to, that is God proving himself that he is almighty, that he is your Father, and he is faithful. And not only will he restore, but he is going to cause life to come through your body that is going to bring life to others around you. So you hold fast to every promise he has spoken to you, because he has not forgotten. He will not fail you. And the labor of love that you have given these years for him has great reward. Amen. somebody is on the verge of letting go. I don't know what that means, and I don't need to. But someone has said, I've tried this. I've tried this, and it's just not working. I've done everything I know to do. God said the very fact that you have breath in your body today, His word is working on your behalf. It is taking that which was of old and it is making something new. But what God is waiting for is for you to get in and stay in agreement with Him, to use the vocal cords that He has given you, to say yes to His word despite what you are feeling, despite what you are thinking. Because He has not forgotten what He said. He is not a man that He should lie. So don't you dare give up on God, because He will never, ever give up on you. We're going to stop here. We're going to stop here. We'll pick up on Wednesday, and I believe we're going to talk about the evidence of God's spoken word. But I want to leave you with this thought. There are things that God has spoken to each of us in His word. Somebody has been walking around feeling that they're strange, that they just don't fit in, that nobody likes them, that they don't have a purpose and a plan here. Let me be the one to confirm what God has already said to you. That's a lie. That is an absolute lie. God calls you special. And He calls you valuable and necessary. He placed you in the body because He has a purpose and a plan that you bring something to the body, and the body is going to bring something to you. But whatever God has said to you, we're going to listen to a song. And I want you to go back in your memory. Pull up those words that God has spoken to you personally. Pull up those things that God said to you that nobody else knows about, and right now it looks like it may never happen. You pull up in your memory what God has said, and then you stir up in yourself to remember that when you say amen to God, so it is, you are saying yes, so be it. Dan?